Welcome to another episode of Meet Me at the Library, the podcast that talks about programs and resources at Charlotte Mecklenburg Library, and many of these you can also access at home. I'm Jeff. I'm the teen librarian at North County Regional Library, and I'm also working here at the Digital Branch.
I'm Mark Engelbrecht, the branch leader of the Plaza Midwood location. That's located on Central and Plaza in the middle of the Plaza Midwood neighborhood.
For the next few episodes, we'll be focused on programs and resources related to science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. In other words, STEAM. In this particular episode of Meet Me at the Library, we're going to talk about programs and resources available through the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library System that are related to makerspaces. Makerspaces cover the technology aspect of STEAM. Now, World Book Encyclopedia describes technology as tools, techniques, and processes that people make and use to survive and prosper. So for example, if you use a stick to dig up a root, you're using technology. Something more related to what we do these days, if you use a pencil, you're also using technology. Now, the makerspace itself has not made it to the dictionary yet, but we're going to find out from library experts what a makerspace is and what they have to offer and where you can find them.
With us today is Aubrey Hedrick. Aubrey currently runs the Idea Box, which is the makerspace at Main Library located at 310 North Tryon Street, and also where we're recording from today. We also have Seth Irvin, the Chief Innovation Officer of the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library System. Aubrey, please tell us about yourself and what you do here in the makerspace.
Yes, I run the makerspace here uptown, and I've helped set up the other locations that we've been working on building. So I train people on the equipment, I help users with their projects, I maintain the equipment, all that kind of fun stuff.
So where are the other libraries?
Currently, we have this location here at the main library and then our recently renovated library, Morrison, that's over in the South Park area. They also have a smaller makerspace. And Imaginon has always kind of had their own version of a makerspace, Studio I, and we're actually currently in the process of updating their technology and equipment. So they'll be getting some new exciting technology, and North County also being renovated right now. We'll be adding a location there as well.
Cool.
We'll have better technology than sticks, though, Jeff. Just so you know.
Better than sticks.
Sticks. I guarantee
you. Well, that's good to know.
Sticks and beyond.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
Thank you, Aubrey. Seth, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role in the organization, as well as specifically the Idea Box?
Yes, sure. I am the Chief Innovation Officer for the library, and with that, it's a brand new role, so I get to define it. So that's an exciting possibility.
Fun and scary, I imagine.
It definitely wavers from scary, scary, funny, or fun. And it's, you know, it's something that, you know, whatever. I just do the best I can. I get up and I'm like, let's go make the library a better place. So in this role, I am over the makerspaces, the makerspace activity. I'm also over any future transitions, future projects that the library is going to engage in that are kind of outside of the norm of business as usual, but are possible future lines of business that we may engage in. So one example of the things that I've done here in the past year is apply for grants. So RFID, which is something that you see at Morrison, our only branch that has the equipment, we were able to win a grant for RFID so that people can check out and check in materials so much faster. So that's just one example of an innovation that happens to be technology that makes the library be better and more efficient at what it does. So that's one thing that I've worked on.
And it's a little more advanced than pencils.
Yes, a little more advanced than pencils, I think. And so those are just kind of the wide, I don't know, menu of things I get my hands into. Sure. I basically, with my job, I can get into anyone's lane at any time, which could be annoying and exciting. But, you know, I don't know any other way to do this job other than to kind of be embedded and see what's happening and try to think of new ways of doing things. So it's really a privilege to be able to serve the library and the community in this way.
Great. Okay, so Aubrey and Seth, the first question we have is, what exactly is a makerspace and why are they relevant?
So I actually use the word makerspace in a very loose term. I think it is literally, to me, anywhere that people are making things and learning things. So in my mind, a ceramic studio is a makerspace. This type of room where we have digital fabrication tools, that's a makerspace. I think anywhere, whether it's traditional or technology-oriented, things that are being made and skills that are being learned, to me, that's a makerspace. So I've definitely had a lot of people ask over the years about why I see this fitting into a library. And I think in my mind, if a library has always been a place of community and education, makerspaces are about the exact same thing. It's about people coming together, cross-pollination of ideas, learning new things, and making things. So to me, it makes sense that we house this now within a library.
Right.
Yeah, and I'll just to back that up, I think there's different modes of learning. I think there are traditional modes of learning where you're taking down a book, you're reading the information, and you're retaining it. That is how some people enjoy learning. I think makerspaces provide another mode of learning by doing, by getting in and creating something. And that resonates with other learners in just the same fashion. And so I think it's really important that the library embraces these different types of learning and learning styles. And I think it's also from a society standpoint, you know, we used to have shop classes in high school. We used to have kind of a more manufacturer-based mentality, and we've lost that in this digital revolution. And I think, you know, not that we have saws and, you know, you know, huge equipment here yet, I think makerspaces offer us a new opportunity to revisit those skills. And I think the combination of both the practical and the newer digital things that we're learning as society changes makes for a unique time for libraries to embrace makerspaces.
Right. Okay.
And that's, I agree, I think there's real value in knowing exactly how something is made and how it works, and just having that ownership of knowing exactly what needs to be done if it breaks, if something needs to be fixed. Really kind of having that self-sustainability and just, you know, general knowledge of how things work and how it can apply into your life.
And I would just, to back that up too, just this idea, you know, where Americans are consumers and that is our only mode of being is a very kind of, it's kind of a disheartening idea in my mind. So the makerspace reminds us that we too can be creators and restorers of things, you know, versus just mindless consumers.
So you mentioned ceramics. So what are some other examples of things you would make in a makerspace?
Well, so again, depending on how exactly you define a makerspace, to me, I think what Seth had mentioned, you know, the kind of old traditional workshop kind of thinking, woodworking, metalworking.
Right.
To me, I have more of an artistic background, so I think of a lot of those traditional methods, whether it is wood carving or sculpting things, those are all versions of making.
Okay.
And I think both traditional and high-tech, they're all valid. They're just different types. And I think sometimes the most interesting ways I see are combinations between the two.
Gotcha.
That someone's using a traditional method, but just figuring out how they can incorporate that technology as an extra tool. I'm definitely not about replacing any kind of traditional making. In fact, if anything, I just think you can use the technology to further it and enhance it in whatever you're doing.
Yeah, and to that point, the spectrum of the technology we have in this makerspace is we have a sewing machine, we have an old-fashioned loom. I think that's more for display than anything else, but we have two working sewing machines, all the way up to a laser cutter. So that kind of gives you the spectrum of the types of experiences, types of making you can get involved in here.
And that's, we have had some patrons who have kind of experimented along the lines of what exactly they can do. We had one, he's a local artist, and he was a recent artist in residence at the McCall Center. And so he experimented with a couple of different types of the technology, both using the laser cutter to create kind of traditional wooden reliefs that he then printed on a traditional printing press. And also he created these Mayan glyphs on the 3D printer that he had like originally drawn and translated, and then assembled them together into this wall sculpture that he actually ended up selling at the opening that night. But so things like that, where I think people are both using traditional and digital, it's really kind of an interesting crossover that you can see.
Very cool.
So you've touched on this a little bit. Can you tell us maybe a little your understanding of the history of what a makerspace is and how it's kind of come into being and where we are now?
So, again, because I think of makerspaces as always kind of being around, because I think people have always been makers in some sense, really when you start looking at the formal creation of this idea as less of as a makerspace and more of what they refer to as the maker movement, and that was Make Magazine was first founded and published in 2005. And that's kind of where you started seeing people coming together and really collectively discussing these ideas. I think they said it was in Germany that they actually had the first three kind of official, they titled them makerspace type facilities. And different varied equipment, but basically providing that stuff and bringing in the community and just working together to just make things and explore.
Cool. So the ones in Germany, were they private or were they public?
Those were the first public maker spaces. And so the interesting thing to me is, again, like I said, maker spaces always existing. If you think back to maybe if you were in college and you had a class that you took. So like I said, I have more of an artistic background. I had ceramic classes. And so there were studios that that was a maker space. I had sculpture classes. There was a studio that was a maker space. So you've actually seen a lot of academic makerspaces that have already existed.
Right.
The issue being that they are only for that class or only for that major. And then once you've graduated out of that, unless you magically have your own studio, you're kind of left with all this knowledge. But if you're not, if you don't have the ability to put in that financial investment, then maybe you don't have access to those tools anymore. And so a big thing with now allowing these public makerspaces, but also through the library, a free makerspace, that we can say, hey, you learned about 3D printing, you know how this stuff does, but you just need a printer. Here at the library, you can come use it, and all we're going to do is just charge you for the materials. So I think it helps a wide range of people, between people who have never used it before, they really just want to know this is interesting, they want to know how it works, and before they fully commit and purchase their own machine, they just want to try it out, they can do that. Or perhaps people who are just out of school, no longer have access to that equipment, and know exactly what they're doing, but the same thing, they just can't justify owning their own machine.
I think too, if you think about living in an urban environment, the ability to have the equipment or the space, I mean, that the space is a premium, and that's one way that the library can offer value to the citizens in this county is by offering some of our space for these making activities, simply because you don't have, no one has room for a laser cutter in their house, you know? And that gets even bigger when you think about like saws and things like that. Not that we offer that yet, but you know, as we expand, we'd love to be able to offer a wide variety of making experiences through the library.
And if you think about some of the things the library already provides, just computer access, that's giving someone an opportunity just to get access to something they don't have at home. The makerspace falls right in line with that. We're providing people access to technology that they may not have on hand. Or even, again, maybe it's just the space to work.
And that's a good point I never really thought about before. Like if you take sculpture class, you may not have those materials at home or room to do a...
to create something,
Right. So that is good that the library is providing that and makerspaces in general. So what's the history of the makerspace like locally here in Charlotte or the surrounding area?
So in Charlotte, we previously had two public locations, but they're membership-based. So basically you pay a membership fee and then get access to the equipment and stuff. But it's kind of, you already know what you're doing. You're doing your own work. You just need that access to the equipment. They were Hackerspace Charlotte and Makerspace Charlotte. Hackerspace Charlotte actually, unfortunately, had to close their doors July of last year. So we have, unfortunately, lost them as a resource to the community. Makerspace Charlotte still exists. They are, like I said, a public facility that they sometimes do, you know, occasional tours and programming for the public. But it's mainly membership-based that you pay your membership fee, and then you're able to kind of go in there and work on your projects and stuff like that. Okay. Here at the library, I think Imaginon is probably technically considered our first makerspace, yeah. And that opened with them in 2005 with Studio I.
And that's a digital production studio and animation studio. So, and that's in 2005. That was really cutting edge. Since the emergence of smartphones and those kinds of things, you know, some of the value add has kind of gone down in the 10 to 15 years since. Right. But, and that's why we're doing the refresh.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, though, of course, to note about Imaginon is that it is a youth library. And so this equipment is housed in their teen loft area. And so it's pretty much only for a teenage age group. So in 2015, we opened this space here at Main Library. And this space is open to all members of the public, including adults, so people right. who perhaps have aged out of Imaginon.
Okay.
And we started providing here more of that digital fabrication stuff.
Sure.
So 3D printers, a laser cutter, a vinyl cutter, sewing machines. We use a lot of freeware, but different types of CAD software, okay. Stuff like that. And like I mentioned, as we're renovating other locations, we're trying to add makerspaces to those library locations as well.
Sure.
And I'll add to that, the Idea Box was built with a generous grant from the Knight Foundation. So
yes. I
want to give major props to the Knight Foundation for their support.
Okay. Cool. And speaking of renovations, I did notice Imaginon Studio I had a nice new fresh coat of paint recently, so it's looking good.
Absolutely. And there should be new equipment before the end of the calendar year, so look for that.
Before the paint fully dries.
Yeah.
So with the this is down the path, but thinking about the remodeling of Main Library, what do we hope or what do we envision that might be an idea or concept that we're going to try to integrate into or we would like to integrate into that the new Main Library that will be coming down in the next few years? What are our hopes?
Oh, man. Well, we have a lot of hopes with the new Main Library. I'll say that. Some of the things that I want to see from a technology and kind of innovation standpoint is more ways for the community to understand the data of our community. So a data visualization studio is one of the things that I'd like to see. What does that mean practically? Think of a space where there's like wall-to-wall video screens where you can kind of extrapolate data, make graphs on the fly, combine data layers so that, hey, I can check out a layer of my neighborhood in terms of crime and property value
right.
and make correlations.
Okay.
Using that technology. So that's not necessarily makerspacey, but I think it is interesting. Also, you know, just taking some of the wealth of things that we have in the Carolina Room, the visual kind of archives of the physical things we have,
mm-hmm.
and making those digital, putting those on display, having them rotate, allowing customers to be able to go in and touch and expand files of actual physical things that we have. That's something I really would like to see.
Yeah.
In terms of makerspace, I think, you know, we haven't gotten there yet, but I think what we have now is a good foundation to build off from.
Okay.
Cool. What do you want to see at Main Library?
Of course, I want to see everything. I think similar to what Seth said, I think we have a great foundation to start with, but I'd love to see us being able to expand and add new pieces of equipment. I think one thing to be noted about this space was that it was a pre-existing space
mm-hmm.
that we turned into a makerspace. And so there are some things that people ask sometimes, what do I wish we had in the space? And they always laugh that my most asked for thing is a sink. Because it seems so ridiculous, but it's a really basic item when you're
right.
talking about, you know, making things and getting kind of messy, that there's no, you know, dedicated sink in here. So I would love that as we're looking to renovate the new Main, that there would be a space that's actually built with the intention of it being a makerspace and designed with that in mind.
Right.
Well, in addition to a sink, I know Aubrey probably has an interest in seeing some real more traditional shop tools kind of
mm-hmm.
come back in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we'll have to design a procedure and policies to make that safe for everybody, but
right.
You can probably expect more classic tools slash maybe art studio equipment.
That's I get a lot of tool envy everywhere we go, and I'm probably teased about it a lot, but I do admire a lot of traditional woodworking tools and things like that, just because I think there is still, you know, so much practicality and functionality for what people can use them for. And of course, it being in a public library, in, like I said, a pre-existing room, you can't just have sawdust flying all over the place.
Right.
So yes, ideally, if there would be a way to build it out in that, you know, here's a super messy area, you know, that everything's contained and that's fine, separated out from maybe our digital tools and stuff, I think that would be great and give people a lot more options, but also maybe learning skills and using tools that, like Seth said earlier, maybe they just don't have the room at home to house. You know, maybe if you're living in an apartment and you just don't have somewhere that you can use traditional saws and stuff like that, you can use them here.
So you guys have talked a little bit about the other locations that have makerspaces. Can we just jump over to Sabin, what's going to be happening in North County and what they're currently offering and what they will be offering in terms of their makerspaces? And do we have ideas? Do we have hopes and dreams of what's coming down the future? Share some of that as well.
Well, we actually have equipment. I mean, for North County, at least. I can speak definitively on that. You're going to see some things probably both at Imagine On in North County that mirror each other. And we're getting iterative in our process of what equipment are we going to have. So one of the things that you're going to see probably at North County is a podcast studio kind of in the house, but also a virtual reality station so that you can have virtual reality software and art programs and things like that.
Cool.
As well as some new Dremel 3D printers. So I can speak to North County. You want to speak to Imagine On?
Sure. So Imagine On, similarly, like we mentioned, will be updating their video and audio recording and editing equipment. So they'll still have that original Studio Eye kind of aspect. But then we're also going to be adding 3D printers as well. We are hoping to be adding a laser cutter for them also. And then they'll probably also get some kind of smaller little kit items, just basic robotics, things like that, that the teens can kind of utilize on the floor, maybe without having it being like a specific program.
Okay.
And we might look at some different tablet activities, like activities designed on a tablet, but with an art bent. So, and that we're still kind of working through that idea right now.
Right.
But also that space, you know, will come equipped with a Google Fiber connection, which we're really excited about. And Google Fiber has given us a sum of money to help refresh the space, which we're super grateful for. But we're also grateful that they're providing a free 1 gigabyte connection to the top floor of Imagine On, which is really exciting.
So they'll have super fast
Google Fiber internet.
Excellent.
At least for a few years before, you know, 1 gigabyte is nothing anymore, right?
Innovation is coming. Continues. All right, so we want to thank Aubrey and Seth for coming by and talking to us about makerspaces.
Thanks for having us.
All right. You're welcome.
We appreciate it.
All right, so thank you for joining us for Meet Me at the Library. We hope you've enjoyed the program. Look for our upcoming episodes on STEAM, again, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. To see and hear more from the Digital Branch, please visit us at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. And if you want to visit the library, you can check out www.cmlibrary.org to see all of our programs and resources. You can also check the library's calendar, and you can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, #CMLibrary and @CMLibrary. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.